It's great to be able to join in again together this morning, and great to be able to worship together. Even though we're separated, we're still the church, and we're celebrating the fact that we are together at this particular time. My name is Tim Hancock, and my privilege to be one of the leaders of the church, Newcastle Baptist Church, and you're very welcome here today. Thanks very much for all the encouragement you've given as well, and the feedback we've had, the pictures that we've had from you, and the messages, and we really value that. And it's great that you're passing this on to friends and family as well. Do continue to do that, and we'll stay connected as much as we possibly can during this time. It's great to be part of the NBC family, and you're very welcome to joining us today. And we hope that you not only enjoy the worship and the message, but you feel connected as well to the journey of faith that we're all on. So today we're on week two of our 40 days with Jesus, looking at the encounters that the risen Jesus had with people. And we're just going to listen to the story that Luke tells in Luke chapter 24, as two of his followers are walking towards Emmaus. So grab your Bibles, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35.
Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 24, and it's verses 13 to 35. And this is scenes that happened just after Jesus rose from the dead. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
So during this time of lockdown, the interest in exercise seems to have grown very much. The daily walk is now not just a necessity for dog owners, but seemingly for everyone at the moment. For the more energetic of us, then the walk turns into a run. But for the more sane people, putting one foot in front of another at a nice steady pace has become what seems to be the new normal. From 99-year-old Captain Tom Moore, who's now raised over £17 million and counting for the NHS, to the toddlers that you meet along the street who seem to be being forced to walk with their parents rather than travelling by car. I've been able to get to know Newcastle under Lyme much more, and I want to recommend it to you. It's been great to hear the birds singing, appreciating the parks and the open spaces, which are all over our community here as well. Of course, the motivation for going for a walk can be many, many things. Perhaps for you, it's just been a case of, I've got to get out of this place. Maybe your home has become an office, a gym, a cinema, a restaurant, a schoolroom, so getting out of the house seems to be essential at this time. As we meet these two followers of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, they are going for a walk. Not a circular walk that starts and finishes at their home, but a one-way walk, getting out of Jerusalem, going towards Emmaus. We're told a walk of 7 miles. Now, not needing to social distance, of course, they were talking about all that had happened during the last few days, probably trying to make sense of the events of the crucifixion of Jesus and then the missing body from the tomb that they'd heard about. But it seems as if they feel like all their hopes have collapsed and their dreams have disappeared. And perhaps they've even given up. But then in verse 15, something really important happens. Jesus came up and started walking with them. And this morning, I just want to pick up 3 distinct movements of this particular walk that they were on that I think actually relate very well to us and our personal situation right now. The first movement, Jesus sees. It's clearly not a very happy walk that these two are involved in. The text says that their faces were downcast. Perhaps how some of us are feeling at the moment, and even though we're going for a walk, it maybe seems a bit of a chore rather than a joy. They were frustrated, disappointed, fearful of what might happen next to the people who followed Jesus, unsure about whether this new movement would last much longer. To coin a phrase, they think it's all over. They've got to get on with their lives now, back to something else, because this journey is finished. They've invested everything in Jesus and now he's dead. But Jesus sees. Even though they're walking away, perhaps especially because they're walking away, Jesus comes and walks with them. Jesus announced himself as the good shepherd who knows his sheep. In Luke chapter 15, he tells a parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes and makes an all-out search for the one that's missing. See, Jesus notices these two who are missing, who have set out on their downcast journey rather than the adventure that Jesus called them to. It's as if a death has happened. But the two didn't see Jesus. They'd already made up their mind that Jesus was dead and buried, and their hopes of him redeeming Israel were far gone. They never expected to see him again, so perhaps weren't even looking for him. As we found out last week, Mary hadn't given up looking for Jesus. She went to the tomb early on that resurrection day. But these two were walking away. Perhaps you've had a time when something has happened or something hasn't happened and you've given up on Jesus. And even though he's been walking with you, you've failed to see him. These two were able to recount all that had happened. They were amazed that their fellow traveller didn't seem to know the news, but they hadn't understood or embraced the difference that the story could make to them, even in their doubts and their despair. But Jesus sees them, and Jesus notices you as well. Wherever you are, in isolation, struggling with changed circumstances, with work or family, homeschooling, whatever you're feeling, no matter how your faith is right now, if you are downcast because of the situation you're facing, Jesus sees you. And as the great philosopher Gordon Sumner, also known as Sting, says, every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, he's breathing it with you. He's walking it with you. He'll be seeing you. But the second movement of this story is that Jesus stays as well. Jesus would have gone on, the text says in verse 29, but the two invited Jesus to stay. For what reason? It seems to be for his own safety. They say it's nearly evening. Maybe it was for their own improvement. They'd been impressed with his knowledge of the prophets, the Messiah, in fact, all of the scriptures. It's a start, but they still missed the point. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't give up on people who miss the point. People like me who are still learning, people who in the middle of challenges of life need him to stay. And at our invitation, he will stay. He'll hang in there with us, no matter what is happening. I think we need to know this. We need to know that he doesn't just stay with people who've got it all sorted out, who have made all the connections, who've joined all the dots when it comes to understanding faith. But he stays with people who still have questions, who haven't yet understood all the answers. During this lockdown period, many people have been finding many new things to do, or learning new skills, new languages, taking up new hobbies, learning to dance, learning to play the piano. But it all takes effort and discipline and consistency and determination. And often the results on our own are less than perfect. Wrong notes, wrong steps, wrong words. Yeah, I've started many things in my life. I've tried to play too many sports during my life. I was very proud to be in the school football team, but once I got to 9 years old, I was never picked again. I played cricket every week, but consistently batted at number 11. I played hockey and rugby and squash and badminton and tennis and basketball. But as you can tell, I gave them all up just to become a pastor. Well, in reality, because I wasn't good enough. I didn't persevere. I didn't listen to the coaches. But what if I had taken notice of them? What if I had taken notice of the people who wanted to teach me and help me and improve me? Maybe I could have scored that century at Lord's. Maybe I could have scored the winning goal in the cup final at Wembley. Maybe I could have been Wimbledon champion as well. A good teacher gives you another chance, hangs on in there with you, is patient with you. They will stay with you, but only if you invite them to stay. Only if you're willing to take their advice. The greatest teacher of all time, at your invitation, is willing to stay with you. If you have enough hunger to learn, enough desire to keep going, enough commitment to give him another chance to help you, Jesus will stay with you. They still hadn't seen Jesus, even though he was right there with them. But at least they urged him to stay. So I wonder whether you'll invite Jesus to stay with you, whatever is happening today, whatever has happened in the past. Even if you've given up with Jesus because you've got too many questions, or you're confused, or you're full of doubts, or you feel like you've failed. Jesus is just an invitation away. And he'll accept you if you'll make that invitation to him. And then we come to the climax of this story, the grand finale, the third movement in this great work that's being played out for us. I can hear it coming towards this moment. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, it says, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them." When was the last time he took bread and broke it? The night before he was crucified, when his body was broken for you, when he gave his life for you. And in this moment, life flooded back into this room, and the two followers began to see something they'd missed throughout this journey. Verse 31 says their eyes were open. Verse 32 says their hearts were burning. Verse 33 says they got up and returned. They were convinced, it is true, the Lord is risen. What a transformation. The incredible impact of an encounter with Jesus, that Jesus saves. And even though it was getting dark, they turned around and they went straight back the 7 miles. The realization of resurrection got into their feet and it transformed their focus, and their darkness was turned into light. Downcast faces began to turn upwards with joy because they saw love and grace reenacted in that moment. And even though Jesus disappeared from their sight, they saw Jesus like they'd never seen him before. But they also saw themselves in a new light, like never before. They became owners of the truth about Jesus, and it sent them rushing back to be back in Jerusalem. Over the years, I've met many, many people who have said to me, you know, if Jesus just showed up in my room, I'd believe in him. For them, seeing was believing. For those two on that road, that day, and for us all, believing is seeing. See, they moved from being downcast and failing to see Jesus, even though he was walking right next to them, to seeing Jesus, even though he was no longer in the room with them. Believing is seeing. Mary saw a gardener. These two saw a fellow traveller. But they were all transformed as they believed and saw exactly who it was, that it was Jesus. Mary says, Rabboni, it's you, Jesus. The two say, our hearts were burning, their excuses were forgotten, and this fire was started. Is your heart burning? Jesus may be stuck in your head, but the reality of him needs to drop to your heart. He is alive, he is with you, he is for you today and every day. So maybe today is the day when you start again, when you turn around, when you come back home. Jesus has been walking with you, whichever direction you're going right now. He'll set your heart on fire. He'll transform your sadness into joy, your anxiety into faith, your despair into hope, if you will invite him to come and stay with you. He sees you. He will stay with you. And he'll transform your life in the light of the resurrection. I wonder if you'd join me in this prayer today. You could say it out loud with me or just say it quietly in your heart. I prayed a similar prayer to this when I was about 7 years old, when I invited Jesus to come and stay simply in my heart. I didn't fully understand it then, but I've prayed this prayer many times since because it's so simple. And you can invite Jesus into your life to stay today. He sees you now. He sees where you're at, the situation you're in. And he just asks that you'll invite him to stay. And then he'll transform your life. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you see me. Open my eyes so that I can see you. Today, I turn around and walk with you. I turn away from all I know is wrong and turn towards living a life that pleases you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the free gift of forgiveness. I invite you to come and stay with me. Thank you, Jesus. Light a fire in my heart today. Make my life burn brighter and help me to bring the good news of your love to others every day. Amen. If you prayed this prayer today, why don't you let me know? You can email me, tim@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and I'd love to help you to take the next steps in this walk. We're going to be starting Alpha online in a few weeks' time, and Alpha is somewhere that you can ask as many questions as you like, where you can explore the whole meaning of life, where you can come and meet other people who are on the journey as well, and you're invited to join us. It will be online, and please keep an eye on the website www.newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and we'll post up details on there and on Facebook of when it is going to start. But we'd love to invite you to take this journey, to continue this walk with us. You're invited. We hope and pray that you'll keep walking with Jesus and you'll experience his presence every day. God bless you.